Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Four! Dusty and Cam.
We grinded like there's no tomorrow, made putts.
This is U.S. Open Week with Dusty, keep the cart girl busy, Hera, and Cam, big stick, Cleland.
Give me the lumber.
The Fans U.S. Open Week.
Brought to you by Motto Wines. Don't just make a statement, live one.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
No mulligans.
The Fan.
Good morning. It is Friday. If Thursday's Cam's favorite day of the week, Friday is definitely mine and everybody else in the world's.
I would like to start off today by saying Happy Father's Day, because we're not going to be in here, but Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day.
Happy
Dusty.
Father's Day to you
happy
too.
Happy Father's Day to my dad, Gene. And so I'm just saying, for all those dads, hope you have a good weekend. And for all the daughters, sons, especially the wives. Take care of your husband and dad.
Especially the wives.
Do you care?
Unlike other wives, what they have done, like last night, take care of your husband. We'll imply that later.
Do you have, are you like big on being taken care of on
no.
Father's Day?
I'm. You know what? I'm as low maintenance as it comes to needing a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm self-sufficient. Look, I can do my own laundry. My wife has never done my laundry. How many years have we been married? Was 150 guys. 16 years. 15? 15. We're in 15. 15 years. We've never done my laundry. I do my own laundry. Cook food.
Cam cook food.
Take care of everything. I mean, look. No, what's better than a guy that does his own laundry?
Hunt and gather.
You're a hunter gatherer.
I am totally. Provider.
Yeah.
Hunter gatherer.
No, you're a handy.
Hey, I can fix things.
You're a handy mofo.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife's like, what do you want for Father's Day? Nothing.
I want to watch game seven
and chill out. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. And that's my wife, when she saw that game seven was on Sunday, she's like, oh, great, on Father's Day. And I go, guess what I want to do for Father's Day?
You're like, I'm the father.
Watch game seven.
Right. I think Mother's Day is definitely more important than Father's Day. It's just my opinion.
Oh, yeah. It was like, I think they would, when Father's Day, they said, oh,
crap, we better add
it's a month after Mother's Day. I guess we have to do something for them. Yeah. And so they gave us another Hallmark holiday. So to all those dads out there, thanks, though. Appreciate you.
You guys are dads.
Well, you probably are. You're just not taking care of the kid, you know?
Oh, you think I'm pulling an Antonio Cromartie?
I don't know. You're sitting there dressed in your Russell Athletic jumpsuit going on here. There's a certain vibe that you put off, and it is a deadbeat dad right now.
This is a deadbeat. If anything, wearing a full Russell Athletic sweatsuit keeps you from being a father.
With the cut-off sleeve hooded sweatshirt. You have a whole thing going on, and I appreciate it.
It is actually all right. Cam was giving me a hard time for not wearing enough brands. It is actually all Russell.
Yeah.
So
that's what I just said. Usually you're a brand, I don't know, potpourri is what I call it. You like to have multiple brands on, but
I guess I just don't pay attention.
I'll say brand whore.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But right now you are in a city where we have what, three of the top 10 apparel manufacturers in the world in Nike, Adidas, and Columbia Sportswear.
Yeah.
You, my friend, are rocking Russell Athletic.
You look like everybody that works out at 10 o'clock.
At p.m. or a.m.?
No, p.m.
Either one.
Because you know the age demo that everybody that works out at 10 o'clock.
And to you, Crawford, I say own it.
It's hard.
And
to,
you do.
It's hard to get a Russell Athletic sweatsuit these days. Know, they're getting pushed out by the big guys.
My dad has long claimed that Bill Belichick has been stealing his fashion style, because my dad is always cut the sleeves off of his sweatshirts because he says it gets in the way of his business.
Yeah, I like this, man.
A little breathability there.
I got
you like functional movement.
You should see how good I am on the board today.
Yeah.
He just doomed himself.
I did.
That's talking about a no-hitter in the fifth inning right now. That's exactly what you did.
The first inning.
You believe in karma? You will.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, oh, on top of Father's Day, happy last day of school to all the teachers out there that are going into school
today in Oregon
for the last friggin' day. Yeah, uh-huh. For a lot of them. I know that
yesterday was our last day.
Portland Public School. Yeah. Well, teachers are still there.
Yeah.
Teachers. Still have to go to school today to close out your room and
nobody
stuff.
Cares about the teachers. It's about your kids.
But it's their right. last day of work for
As
a
we
lot
have two
of them.
Teachers in our family.
Yeah, my wife has got done last week, but so Portland Public School is long gone. But all those teachers out there that are going in for the last day, crouch, chop your way out of that building early today, my friends.
Cue the Alice Cooper.
Yes. Every day for the bump back. Every break for the bump back, Alice Cooper.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
You know what I'm going to watch when I get home today?
What?
Summer School with Mark Harmon.
Oh, I thought you were going to finally watch the O.J. 30 for 30, O.J. Made in America, because on this date in sports history in 1994, O.J. Simpson led police on a low-speed chase throughout the greater L.A. area.
And according to Jeff Van Gundy, decided to drive slow because he wanted to hear the finals call of the NBA.
He wanted to listen to
make sure
that great finale. I can't believe that.
Who was on that call? Was that Steve Snapper Jones and...
On the radio call, I have no idea who would have been doing the game back then in 94. You're licking your lips at me. That makes me feel really uncomfortable right now. Are you okay?
I thought I had some coffee remnants.
Oh. Oh, it looks fine. It looks
very
fine.
Foamy latte.
It looks fine.
I know, I don't drink latte.
It was just you were licking your lips at me, and it made me feel a little
bit
uncomfortable.
What happens when you have the facial hair?
Right.
Things get caught there.
I can't grow it.
No.
I feel you.
You're trying to compare your facial hair to his facial hair? Because there's not a...
Stuff gets caught in here, liquid. Liquid gets caught in my mustache.
There's nothing worse than guys that have the gap, that are trying to pretend they don't have the gap.
Listen, I have the gap. It doesn't connect.
And the gap.
You have to take a puddle jumper over that little...
You're still at age 13 hoping it'll fill its way in.
Crawford, you got people calling you out, man. You never wear a t-shirt under a Russell Athletic sweatsuit. Well, What's wrong so sick. With you, my man?
You want me to let the chest hair out?
Yeah, wow. Let the meat flow with your gold yin-yang.
Gosh. Don't show them your gold chain.
Well, on today's program, we have our weekend Would You Rather at 8:15. Giddy up, buttercup. Are you excited for that?
Sure. I hope it involves something about Father's Day and wives.
I haven't done a weekend.
Because I'm sensing a theme today that's going to last the entire show.
Why do you hope that?
I don't know. It's Father's Day.
And wives?
And wives.
All right, I'm on it.
Think of something.
Okay.
Think of something quick.
Make sure you get one. Make sure you get that in there. Also, textual relations. Aisha Curry's Twitter feed is a thing again. She's something else. That's for sure. And NBA Finals talk. Plus, we got college football. There's one prominent sports writer that believes that the quality of the Pac-12 has plummeted in the last 2 years. That's an interesting take.
I bet he's on the East Coast.
Wake up.
Right?
The opposite way once again. Slice it and a fair ball. O'Malley scores easily. Gutierrez coming around to score. Meanwhile, Cano gets the stop sign from Acta as Deho Lee has plated two runs here in the fourth inning with two outs.
Aaron Goldsmith on the call. You heard it over on ESPN Portland 910. The Mariners avoided the sweep as they took the finale from Tampa Bay. 6-4 with the win. Kyle Seager went yod. Deho Lee knocked in three RBI, including that call, which you heard, which was his first double of the season.
Quick question. Is that the worst venue in Major League Baseball?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What an absolute dump.
Yeah. It didn't. Well, ooh. Oco Coliseum?
No. That place is just, it's stagnant. There's no noise. It's that turfy.
There is raw
field
sewage.
Turfy.
There is raw sewage leaking into Oco.
At least people go to A's games, though.
It's fertilizer.
Yeah. But that Oco place also has a third of their stadium completely blocked off.
Yeah.
We have to remember that as well.
Right. Yeah, blame Al Davis for that.
At least Tampa's is a dump. It's awful.
I like O.co.
Tropicana is a dump, though.
It's a dump.
In every game, somebody hits the catwalk. The ceiling's too low.
It's so quiet in there, you can hear the guys peeing in the urinal.
Anyway. Can you hear the splashback, though?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. That's uncomfortable.
Hey, wake up. I said wake up.
Apparently there are two groups bidding to buy the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championships. And reportedly, they are in a $4 billion range bidding war.
Wow, $4 billion with
a B? Yeah, yeah. Mm. Dr. Evil even thinks that that's excessive. One group is from China. I don't know if you've heard of that country. Just
they don't have any
the
money, do
pond.
They?
Jeez. And then the other one involves Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
Oh. You know he made his money in paper?
I did know that.
Amazing,
it
huh?
is. He is not a cheese mogul.
No.
He is a paper.
He's a paper maker.
Man.
Kinda not like the people from Camas.
He's a paper boy.
Paper man?
Paper
he, kid?
He
paper.
Started Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
He hired Dwight Schrute. No, but Robert Kraft is part of one of the groups. Riddle me this, Batman. So Robert Kraft would then own stakes in FanDuel, DraftKings, and the UFC, which are all gambling, yet the NFL has this massive stance against gambling, and you're trying to convince me that the team going to Vegas won't happen because of corruption, despite having several owners in the league involved in daily fantasy, and then one in UFC, which they make their money off of gambling.
Yeah. Shh, don't say anything.
But no. We can't have a team in Vegas. You can't legalize gambling. Corruption. Whatever.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
It's one of those golf courses where you just have to play really well. Your game has to be on top. It's got to be sharp with everything you do. So, you know, just hit fairways, hit greens, and, you know, history is history. And I never even knew anything about that. So,
that's Andrew Landry talking about Oakmont. I didn't really understand what he said. Did you hear that buzzing in the background?
I did hear the buzzing or the high pitch, keep the bats away.
Was the...
What was that?
Was the, like, carbon monoxide detector going off?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Inclement weather.
Andrew Landry is the leader. He's sitting in the clubhouse after a 4-under 66. He is one stroke up on...
Lee?
Westwood.
Yeah.
Who shot a 67, who is the guy that... I think this is finally the tournament where people gave up on Lee Westwood and stopped saying this is going to be the one that Lee Westwood wins.
Be the one. He might be one of the best players out there. If not, he and Sergio in this conversation, greatest players without a major right now.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
All right. Well, I might be able to get on board with that. So yesterday was a debacle at Oakmont. There were a lot of rounds that didn't finish. Some I'm looking at here. You got a bunch of guys that didn't even come close to finishing the rounds, including Phil Mickelson.
It's going to be a full day for a lot of guys. There could be up to what they're going to say 12 full hours of play on the golf course today.
I got a picture from a buddy, Nate Plouffe, who's rolling around Oakmont right now. And he sent me a picture that says, in the caption was, they're going to need a boat for an approach shot at Oakmont today. And it was a shot during the rain delay of the fairway on 18. It was underwater. Like, it looked like you could see the rough. That's how long the rough is, by the way. But it was like all pooling the water right in the middle of the fairway. It was a disaster.
But they got it ready.
A lot of guys... Yeah, and it didn't help. You see Duffner shot yesterday?
I did.
Jason Duffner, he one hops it like probably 6 inches past the hole. It comes back, hits the back of the cup, and then had so much backspin on it
that
it rolled all the way down.
So what happens when you have those wet, spongy greens? It creates just a spring effect.
And he almost dunked it, and he still found a way to miss it. Mm-hmm. For those wondering, Jordan Spieth is on 17 in his opening round still. He's 2 over par. He is struggling quite a bit. Rory McIlroy, he did not do well. He did not do well at all. He shot a 7 over 77.
Yeah, and his playing partner, Mr. Ricky Fowler, he's plus 6. Tough group.
And then, oh, by the way, Bubba Watson, who I think a lot of people kind of wrote off because he's a long bomber and this is target course. He's one under. Yeah. He played very well yesterday, shooting a 69, three strokes off the lead. So that is your leaderboard update at the U.S. Open. We got a game seven, folks. Massive concerns for the defending champs. 55305 is the text line. 503-250-1080 is how you can call us. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
This is the Fans U.S. Open Week edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Motto Wines.
On 1080 The Fan.
We got a game seven, folks, after the Golden State Warriors fall flat on their face in Cleveland in game six. Draymond Green said that if he played in game five, there's no doubt they win. Boy, did he have a bad game after saying something like that as Cleveland wins 115 to 101, and that game start to finish, that was a wire to wire win for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They led for 47 and a half minutes.
Well, how about just the first quarter alone? If you watch that game, and you, and I don't know how many people actually saw it from start to finish. I only got to see the second half officially, but the 31 points in the first quarter by Cleveland, Golden State with 11. I don't know if I've ever saw a first quarter where Golden State was absolutely fell. I don't know if it was falling asleep. Took some time to get started. I'm just waiting. Never happened. Right out of the gate, the tone was set that Cleveland was going to attack, and they were going to own the game.
Yeah, they did it. I mean, it was wire to wire. It wasn't even close. LeBron James does it again. He goes 16 of 27 from the field. 11 assists, 41 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds.
Is he's the MVP no matter win or loss. I mean, wouldn't it be an absolute travesty if he's not the MVP? Win or lose this championship on game seven?
Yeah, I don't think.
It's just, how many losing teams have ever had the MVP?
I don't think it's happened. It has happened before, but it hasn't happened in like 40 years or something.
I think it's only happened once, and it was Jerry West.
Yeah, Jerry West. Okay, so in the modern day, we're just not going to see it, are we?
Well, we should. It's stupid.
Well, isn't that a participation trophy? Right? Like, the most valuable player loses? I mean, like, and that's
You take it like it's a slap to the face to say you're the most valuable player of the series.
Well, I
guess it's always the left unsaid. It has to be from the winning team.
I mean, he has been the best player. I mean, it's not the most outstanding. Is it the most outstanding player or is it the most valuable player? Because when you talk about value, wouldn't it be the guy who wins the game, like wins the series?
I always look at the most valuable as the most valuable to your team.
Right.
Because if LeBron James is not on this Cavs roster, they're like fifth in the East.
Yeah, I agree. I think he has been the most outstanding player. I think he's hands down the most valuable player. I mean, you look at Steph Curry, hit 6 threes last night, but holy meltdown, Batman.
Break this down, though, of why you see it melting down, because I have my version of why, and I think everybody can see it of why it's now coming to a head.
Well, you have a lot that's going on here is that he's getting a lot of S talk to him, and he's getting his shot swatted into the third row by LeBron James. He's not handling that well. He's taking terrible shots. I mean, awful shots that, you know, we sit there and we said this about Damian Lillard. Remember the criticism Dame got of why is he taking those shots? Those are bad shots. Yeah, bad shots by your star player. You live with them, right? But when those shots aren't falling, you have to have some internal awareness to go, it's not working. I don't have it. I need to create something else. And he's not. And so they turn into bad shots.
Is it what's not working for Steph Curry, or is it what the Cavaliers have done to him physically? Not only beating him up off of screens, poking, prodding, pulling, bumping, everything that
fouling?
They've done. Whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's only foul unless they call it. We could call it fouls, but it's only foul unless they call it. But, so I agree with you. But
go ahead.
A foul is only a foul if you call it.
Just like
a hold in football is only a hold if you call
it. Yeah, but here's the thing is that the wild inconsistencies that we've seen where Steph Curry is coming off of a screen and his jersey is literally being untucked by
I agree with Kyrie
Irving.
But how many sports do we see it?
And it's going both ways, though. Yeah. It's going both ways. Yeah. But this is ridiculously bad. So that isn't a foul, yet Kevin Love picks up his third foul when he avoids and gives the ole to Draymond Green, barely touches him, but that is a foul. And then
well, the three final fouls that Steph Curry got in that game.
Why are we under the misinterpretation that referees are not affected by the emotions and the ebb and flows of games?
Well,
how are we supposed to be under the realistic point of view that referees are not going to be under the same pressure and scrutiny as the players in these scenarios, not going to let their emotions or their biases of star players or certain situations where they feel like, I'm going to pull back the reins, but I can, oh, there's 8 minutes in the game, I'll make a call here. 3 minutes, I'm not going to make that call. It's unrealistic for me to sit there and expect consistency from human beings that are going to be under the same feelings and pressures as players. Why don't we think that referees are supposedly going to be robots? They can't do it out there.
But these aren't the judgment calls where you sit there and you go, oh, that could have been. Well, am I going to let it go? Right? You have the same guys calling fouls at one point in the game. Well, yeah. You can do just same trips down. It can't even be like crunch time. They always let them play a little bit more, right? Final 2 minutes of a half or a game, they let them go, right? And that is kind of always been what happens. You're seeing, though, trips down the floor with 10 minutes to go in a quarter, where on one end, massive contact, no call, and then you go right back down the other end and no contact, call. Like, that to me is where I'm going, how is this happening? In the NBA Finals, where you're supposed to have your best officials on the floor,
yeah.
How can it be this egregious?
Because it's the NBA.
It's not just for Cleveland, and it's not just for Golden State. Well, they're just terrible. It's terrible.
With that being said, I don't want to make this about what the referees are doing to this. I want to make it more about what the players are doing, like LeBron. No. But you know what? Even the head coach for the Golden State Warriors, he doesn't like the fact that the referees are doing that.
Steve Kerr is feeling this even more, and Ty Lue has done it earlier in the series.
Well, that had nothing to do with the outcome. The outcome was decided, but he had every right to be upset. He's the MVP of the league. He gets six fouls called on him. Three of them were absolutely ridiculous. He steals the ball from Kyrie clean at one point. LeBron flops on the last one. Jason Phillips falls for that for a flop. And this is the MVP of the league. We're talking about these touch fouls in the NBA Finals. Let me be clear. We did not lose because of the officiating. They totally outplayed us, and Cleveland deserved to win. But those three of the six fouls were incredibly inappropriate calls for anybody, much less the MVP of the league.
So are you okay with him throwing his mouthpiece?
Yeah, I'm happy he threw his mouthpiece. He should be upset. You know, it's the finals, and everybody's competing out there, and there's fouls on every play. It's a physical game, and I just think that I think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, you know, the way we run our offense, we're cutting through the lane. We're a rhythm offense. If they're going to let Cleveland grab and hold these guys constantly on their cuts, and then you're going to call these ticky-tack fouls on the MVP of the league to foul them out, I don't agree with that.
I'll take it one step further. Kevin Love, I thought, got hosed in two of his calls early when he was playing, dare I say, effective at the beginning of the game.
Okay, are we under the same thought? You agree or disagree? Do we think that as fans, and you're watching this throughout the season, do you think that the NBA is called differently during the regular season and then in the playoffs? Okay, so that's stating the obvious, correct? The way the Golden State Warriors ran through everybody in the regular season, they got a lot of calls during the regular season. Those ticky-tack fouls were part of the regular season that they got used to, right? So the NBA, the officials, trained the offense and the Golden State Warriors to expect those calls. Yet now in the playoffs, especially in these finals, those calls are not going their way. So who's at fault? Is it the fact that the Golden State Warriors are going like, wait a minute, we got here because we got these calls. Steph Curry gets off those picks, with illegal picks or grabs, they were pulled before. The space, all of that was part of the offensive flow. He said it, Steve Kerr, we run our offense with that type of movement. When it gets physical, he's stating it, we can't do the same things. So is there a fault? Is there a blame? Or is this the ability of the Cavs taking advantage of what it is?
Yeah, that's not his point, though. It's that you...
That is absolutely his point.
No, he's saying they are calling the ticky-tack stuff. He literally said, why are you calling
on them,
the ticky...
But not on Golden State. For Golden State. The polls, like you said, the jersey polls.
No, I'm saying...
All those grabs.
Well, and then I'm bringing up I said right when he got done, I'll say Kevin Love's two of Kevin Love's fouls were ticky-tack too, which were egregious. But and he's saying that you can't call one thing on one end and then another and then let it go okay. on the other end. And that's happening over the course of the game to both of these teams.
Yeah.
And you can't have that happen. And that is the biggest issue here. I mean, I agree with you. They have been trained, but neither team can essentially get into a flow or rhythm of a game when that happens. When you're calling the game so, I don't know, like it's bipolar the way they go. It's one way for 5 minutes and then it's completely the other for two and then you go back to the way it was. I feel terrible for the guys and you saw how many guys were in foul trouble.
I don't feel
night.
Terrible, man. I think it's good basketball. I'm sorry. I do. I don't feel terrible at all. I love watching it.
All these guys are in foul trouble and then they're let...
It's supposed to be hard. It's the NBA Finals. It's supposed to be hard. You're supposed to have things go wrong. You're supposed to have stress. You're supposed to have adversity. That's why the finals, the strong will survive in this final.
That is the problem, though, yeah. Cam, is that they let them play and then they don't. They just cut it off for a minute.
Well, I don't consider it a problem.
And when you have guys with, we had Curry fouls out. You had... Draymond Green with 5 fouls. You had J.R. Smith with 5 fouls. Tristan Thompson had 4. Iman Shumpert 4. And then Kevin Love and LeBron James got 3 early. I mean, that was... they can't play the same way. They can't play the same way that they have the whole series. And then there's long stretches where they can play. Mm-hmm. Then they do something that they've been doing the whole game. And boom.
But last time fouls. I checked, everybody's playing under the same court. The same lights,
but not the same rules.
What are you talking about? They're all the same rules.
No, they're. It's
what rules are you talking about?
The way that they're calling the game.
That's the game. Is the subjectiveness of referees? It's all the same rules.
That is the problem that Kerr has. Well, Ty Lue has had. The players have had.
Deal with it. It's the finals.
Oh man, and that's what makes it hard. Is that yeah. there's nothing they can do. Somebody else that's not handling pressure very well is Steph Curry's wife. Ayesha Curry's Twitter feed is a big deal. Or is it? 55305. Here's Crawford with SportsCenter.
This hour on The Fan comes to you from the New American Funding Studios. New American Funding, your Northwest mortgage pros. Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
24-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over-text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
The Golden State Warriors may not be handling themselves very well, with the exception of their coach, Steve Kerr. I loved what he said after the first quarter. When they're down 31-11, Steve Kerr goes, "Am I worried? 31-11? We got this."
And, love the confidence.
Right? And it was a bad game for the Golden State Warriors, start to finish. They didn't make a run in the second quarter, third quarter, but Cleveland just stepped on them. Actually, very similar to the way that mm-hmm. Golden State steps on other teams.
Yeah.
But it was a bad night for Steph Curry, who got fouled out and then got ejected, threw his mouthpiece at a fan, which, do you know who that fan is?
I guess it was a pretty important person.
It's Dan Gilbert's kid.
He honestly,
I guess it's not an important person.
I guess he doesn't
bad.
Need it, but I saw before the game, I saw Darren Revelle tweeting out that Steph Curry game used mouthpieces were going for like $5,000 on Twitter or on eBay. I mean,
go get it.
Whatever you need.
So grab that thing.
And by the way, his son was waving at him. Dan Gilbert's the owner of the Cavs. And he was waving at him, bye bye, you know, and.
I thought he saw him shake his hand and say, "Hey, my bad. I apologize."
And it wasn't. He spun around. Like, we're seeing the vine of it, but he spun around and he threw it. He said he was trying to throw it at the scorer's table. He said he's sorry. He won't be suspended.
He hit it with a piece of plastic.
He will be fine.
Oh, I thought he was calling for it. Like, whatever. Yo.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of bush league when he got ejected. Do you see him standing on the baseline? And like the guy, the assistant was like, "Hey, dude, you got to go. You got ejected." And he was like, no. I was like, what are you doing, Steph?
You know what? I'm never going to judge a guy in the emotions of a sport, and especially under that stage. So, I you know what? Whatever he's doing, he is who he is at that point.
But we'll judge his wife, right? Because Aisha Curry had...
Well, she has time to think about it.
As the
She's not competing.
As the game was ending, Aisha Curry tweeted out, I've lost all respect. Sorry, this is absolutely rigged for money or ratings. Not sure which. I won't be silent. Just saw it live. Sorry. And that was retweeted like, I don't know, was it 50,000 times in a couple of minutes? She deleted it.
After it got retweeted how many times?
Like 50,000. Oops. May have gotten up to 80,000.
No, I think it was 80,000.
It got 80,000 retweets before you should probably pull that down.
At that point, why even delete it?
After she deleted it, she said, well, you deleted it because your husband texts you.
What are you doing?
What the are you doing? And then she decided to apologize after, but not really apologize. She said, I'm okay, we lost. I just can't take people coming at my family for absolutely no reason. Something I don't understand or stand for. Next tweet, police racially profiled my father and told him to remove credentials and tried to arrest him. It's been a long night for me. I apologize. Tweeted in the heat of the moment because the call was uncalled for. Those are the follow-up tweets. By the way, the racial profiling of her father, there is an explanation for that.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have been dealing with a man who has been sneaking in with fake credentials.
Yeah.
And so... he was African American, so she said it was racial profiling. But they had been going through a person had been falsifying credentials that matched the description of her father. So,
okay, so I said this to Alex this morning. I'm going to give you a little credit here because I do agree with you. I think you made a great point this morning because you and I were talking about it, and I said, first off, I love the fact that his wife has passion. Number one, that's my number one thing. It's very rare. I saw a lot of parents or a lot of wives that could care less about their husbands in professional sports. Trust me. I was on a lot of those teams, and I also saw a lot of wives that had a lot of passion. And I do appreciate that. The love and support she has for her husband is actually refreshing to see in the day and age of professional sports. Now, with that said, sometimes when you give someone a microphone, they say things that can be a little bit, I don't know, put your foot in your mouth-ish. And that's what Aisha Curry is done. And unfortunately, in this scenario with Steph Curry, she needs to shut up. And this is the thing is you're not competing. Nobody really cares what the wives want to say. When it comes down to it, the guys don't care. The actual players, we as people love it, but the fact that she's out there just giving us something to talk about, because come on. It's the fact that she's made these decisions, these instances, this game six, this game seven, whatever we're at, she's made it about her and what's affecting her and how it's bothering her and how it's, I had to sit on the bus for 10 minutes because they wouldn't let us in. My dad, you know, those are all unfortunate situations, but it's not about you. This isn't about you. You are famous because of what your husband has done, not what you have done. When you see it from that perspective, then you start to realize, are you being about you? Or is this about your real feelings? Because your feelings are fine. Here's the difference. You have every right to your feelings. We all have every right to have your feelings. But you don't have a right to say them all the time. You can say them, but you got to understand you're going to have repercussions when you say them. I got a lot of feelings that I feel all the time. Yeah. I got a lot of things I feel. I don't always say them. You know why? Because they don't always, in the right, they're not appropriate all the time. They may not be in the right context. Just because I have feelings doesn't mean I can say them and then not expect a backlash.
Right. And I do agree to your point that...
having feelings are your absolute right as a person. Just be prepared when you say them, what will happen.
And I agree with you that you say she's famous because of her husband. But at the same time, there's a lot of professional basketball players who wives have Twitter, but they don't have 514,000 followers, right?
Their wife's not the MVP.
But
their husband's not
like
the MVP.
LeBron James' wife on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why Aisha Curry is popular
is because of Steph Curry.
Is the same reason why her husband is popular too, but to different people. This is the Kardashian. This is the Kardashianization of our world, right?
Yeah.
But Aisha Curry, what is popular is what makes it, and it has her with 514,000 followers on Twitter, is why her husband is popular too. It's that people can relate to her. She tweets how she feels, what other fans are thinking, right? There's a reason why she had 80,000 retweets, is because there were fans that, as fanatical people, who are sitting there and thinking the same thing, right? That's, and she tweets a lot of things that people relate to. Fans of Golden State, as delusional as it may sound, they believe that too. There's a lot
that's
of people.
That's not delusional. That's just called being a fan.
Exactly. And that's what she is. That's what she is.
I agree, but you're on a different stage. I mean, that's the thing is that how does it affect the team? How does it affect your husband?
But
do you think your husband will be bothered? Do you think that, or he might be like, oh, well, it is who it is. I support my wife. It is who it is. It doesn't matter. I'm not in their relationship. Right. I'm just saying from multiple different perspectives.
And I
don't think it should be about her. That's just me. That's just me thinking. It's not about her. You're not competing. You should be supporting.
And she is.
In her way, she's supporting this way. This is her way of support.
That is. And you know what?
I don't agree with that support.
They've got and that's why they have a partnership. In watching Steph's demeanor and a lot of the way that he acts and reacts to things, I think he feels.
I love the fact that she's loyal.
NBA is rigged.
Yeah.
But they.
You're right. It was rigged.
They do have those. They do have those big personalities where, you know, they kind of get really salty. They get really upset. Like this texter says, you know, that new cooking show that Curry's wife has, and a lot of that food's going to be with extra salt in her cooking show. That's a great text and a good point. Your feedback coming in at 55305. Steph Curry's wife is taking over the day after Game 6. Maybe she's taking pressure off of him.
Don't you see, in my opinion, don't you see that we should be talking about the game? But we're not. We're talking about the comments of a wife. And that's the thing that got the most. She's the most trending topic this morning.
But
on Twitter.
But that's the thing is that.
That's the day and age we're in.
It's the Kardashianism of this world. It's not the story. The story of Game 6 is LeBron James. It's Steph Curry's meltdown. It's Draymond Green's being non-existent. People are freaking out over this like she means something. She doesn't.
Right.
55305, Dustin Cam on the fan.
This is the Fans U.S. Open Week edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Motto Wines.
On 1080 The Fan.
55305 is the text line. Aisha Curry taking over her Twitter account saying that the NBA is rigged last night. People all hot and bothered by it. This text coming in from Anthony. Never heard Miss Curry before the last couple of months. I hope people don't care too much about her opinions on her Twitter feed. It's not like she's a first lady or a real public figure. That comes from Anthony. I agree with that. Like, look, what is so confusing to me is that people care so much about Aisha Curry's Twitter feed when we have presidential candidates who say things 30 times more stupid on Twitter, and they're going to get millions of votes, and people are outraged about Aisha Curry. Like, we should care about Aisha Curry says? The NBA is rigged? And then a lot of text coming in at 55305. Was Aisha Curry saying the NBA was rigged when her husband's team came back from a 3-1 deficit against Oklahoma City? No, she wasn't.
Yeah, this isn't political. This is just social media, man. See, is where we're at.
Yeah, I'm totally with that. Like, it's just so she's Steph Curry's wife, right? Yeah. It's just a person caught up in the moment with close ties to the team tweeting something.
There's no difference in sports and expressing your feelings like you did 30, 40 years ago. You had the same feelings. You just have a platform now. Everybody's got a platform.
Well, every Little League team has a mom that yells in the stands, right? Yep. And is that over-the-top mom?
Yep.
Well, that's over-the-top Steph Curry's
mom.
Wife.
Yeah, over-the-top mom just has a platform to say it.
Every team has that now. Mm-hmm. And it just happens that it's Steph Curry's wife.
Remember last NBA Finals, who was tweeting?
Yeah.
Draymond Green's mom, who was on Twitter and getting talked about. I mean, this happens. And my point to you this morning, Cam, was that it's almost refreshing for me to sit back and be like, okay, here's an NBA wife who's not your typical quote-unquote jersey chaser, who's not this gold digger, who's not one of the people we see on the reality show NBA Wives. This is Steph Curry's wife who he's been with since before he made it big in the league, and she's fired up, so she tweets out an opinion. Who cares if Game 7 was on Saturday and we didn't have to have all this time off? We wouldn't be talking about this as much. We'd be talking more about the matchups and the game itself.
Yeah. Yeah. She is... You know, this one says, who cares about Steph Curry's wife? Yeah, the refs weren't great for Golden State, but they weren't great for Cleveland either. And that's one thing that she's been complaining about the refs all series long. And they've been bad on both sides. It's just she wants to see one side of the officiating. And she thinks it's bad towards Golden State, but it's bad towards Cleveland as well. You know, this one says, Curry's wife, I think, can tweet all she wants. Somebody apparently wants to listen to her and spread what she says on Twitter. I don't really care, but ESPN or the media apparently likes to hear what she says, and it's kind of outrageous. I blame the media for biting into those tweets of hers, you know, and taking them seriously.
I don't even know where the media starts and where the regular opinions of people on Twitter ends anymore, because there's just thoughts of what is the media anymore? Anybody can have a podcast, anybody could have a Twitter feed, anybody have Instagram. There is no line anymore. So any Tom, Dick, or Harry can just be a supposedly media person. So there's no real separation where I say is good media is bad media anymore. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
People are stating, wives are tweeting. This what this guy says, usually a successful man has the power behind the throne, so to speak, which is a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but they should be seen, not heard at the same time. I mean, you're going to take that as degrading?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You're taking that as degrading?
I am. I think in 2016, to have the attitude that a woman should be seen, not heard, and not express her opinion...
No, I think what he's saying in this scenario...
Sense,
You like the fact that if you were competing, and you were competing, and your wife made it about her during your competition.
No, okay. And that's the thing is that... I would look at it as not about her. It would be about her support.
You're going to give me a headache.
It gets blinded.
Okay.
It gets blinded. And it's a partnership. Their marriage is a partnership, man. I think it's the same way.
Is Ayesha Curry dribbling the basketball and making three-pointers?
Who cares?
Just answer my question.
Who cares?
No. I'm just answer my question.
No.
Is she competing or is he competing?
He is competing.
So maybe behind closed doors, Steph says, hey.
That's all I'm asking
here. If this is a distraction.
Who's competing here?
If this is a distraction for Steph, then he can have this talk with her behind closed doors.
That's not my job. I'm just saying the specifics of who's competing and who isn't. That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying where does your wife belong. I'm not saying what she should do. I'm asking who's competing, who's making it about them. Is Steph Curry going on Twitter saying this? Or is she doing it?
No, because
that's all I'm asking.
He gets fine when he does it.
Okay. To quote,
you know, and I mean, it's just her opinion. I mean, man. And I think that
I'm not on the side of what's good and what isn't. I'm just making a point.
She's entitled to her opinion.
Oh, there. Well, yeah. Again, you can be entitled to a lot of things. Yeah, you can be entitled. That's the problem. Is everybody's entitled?
But it's an
you don't
opinion.
Have to say it. You don't have to say
it. Yeah, to quote the Big Lebowski, that's just your opinion, man. How I feel about this.
And
like,
I think
her opinions are worth as much as Steph's or anybody else's. Like, no, I'm not trying to sit back here and be like, well, she's his wife, so her opinion's worth less. That's where
I haven't said that either.
No, I know you haven't, but I'm saying people are saying that. People are thinking that, and that's wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the thing is that
you guys.
Why are people taking her opinion so seriously? Do you not realize why you get upset?
I'm not upset. Do you act like you're confused why people are outraged or they're bothered by this?
I am.
You are honestly confused by it?
Yeah.
You think somebody putting themselves in front of their husband's feelings in competition?
It's an opinion, man. Like, I don't understand why people get upset because she tweeted out her feelings. Like, I don't understand why that bothers people so much. And, you know, it's just... Difference of opinion between you and I is difference of opinion between people with Ayesha Curry and everybody else.
I'm not going to try to convince anybody of anything.
Yeah, no.
Trying to do that.
I mean, this is the ultimate to each his own, right? And that's kind of just the way it is, you know? I mean,
whatever, man. You guys, you know, everybody that can listen that way have not been in locker rooms and professional sports. I'm guaranteeing you that when you watch this and see it, I told the story of what happened with Kurt Warner.
Yep.
I told you what happened with Brenda Warner. Anybody that looks at it differently at the competitive level of ultra type A, high testosterone men, it's very difficult to deal with that in that locker room. The ones on the outside that haven't been in that scenario, until you've been there, you cannot tell me you wouldn't feel a certain way.
And you know what?
You cannot.
You've been there.
And it's not like this guy says, Cam being a meathead, doing meathead things and taking meat. I'm fine. Have the opinion of being a meathead.
That's fine.
But guess who competed at the level to be able to see it? This meathead with two thumbs. What I'm saying is that you can have, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to your feelings. Uh-huh. You just don't have to say it all the time.
Right. And that is
I like being called a meathead, man. That's why I'm sitting in this chair, because of the meathead things I did.
Get off my lawn.
Let's talk about what actually happened in the game. How about we do that, huh? LeBron flexes his muscles, Draymond goes MIA, and Steph Curry loses his mind. And we got a game 7, folks. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.